Podcast today's show at rte.ie/todaywithSeán O'Rourke.
Well, the football is over for another year and it's All-Ireland number 7 for Kerry after what many people regard as a fairly lacklustre game against Donegal. In fact, if you look at one of the comments from Joe in Cork, for instance, the All-Ireland final was the worst match ever. The Dubs on form would have beaten the two of them together and the ref was bad as well, says Joe in Cork. I'm sure a lot of Dublin people would agree with that. But anyway, for a look back at yesterday's action in Croke Park, I'm joined in studio now by All-Ireland winning footballer from 2 years ago with Donegal, Mark McHugh, sports writer Orla Bannon and GAA columnist and All-Ireland winning manager with Offaly, Eugene McGee. And we'll be speaking in a while to Dara O'Shea, who's on the line from Tralee. But I suppose, Mark, a tough Monday morning for Donegal, particularly for your brother Ryan, for Jim McGuinness, the whole team. What's your explanation for what went wrong?
You know, different things went wrong on the day for us. We, Kerry came up with a very good plan on how to beat us, and you know, it shows you exactly the stature manager Eamon Fitzmaurice is, because you know, since Kerry beat me, I don't think I could actually have seen a Kerry victory, but he must have studied Donegal to a T and got exactly what he needed from his players, and they stuck to the plan, and number of factors then, and we didn't have any luck during the game. You know, the mistake by Paul Durkin probably was a bit of a turning point, and even at the end of the game where we could have snatched a draw, just, you know, hit off, you know, the wee margins which in Gaelic football hit off the post, and we just, you know, we didn't capitalise on anything, and I just don't think our players got to the level we have been all year.
Orla Bannon, loads of people writing, look, this shows what a great tactician Eamon Fitzmaurice is, to take a bunch of players who were seen as not having a huge amount to offer, even though they're from Kerry and representing the county, team in transition, all the rest of it, and saying, oh look, you know, he had it all worked out to a T. But yet, you know, if Colm McFadden had got that ball just, you know, 4 inches to the left yesterday, we'd be all saying, you know, something, bad match, fair outcome, an awful lot of errors, just as well as a replay.
Yeah, well, that's right. I mean, managers have to live and die by their decisions, and I suppose a lot of people were maybe wondering,
and would he be
why,
the genius then?
Well, that's it. And, you know, a lot of people were wondering why, you know, Colm McFadden was possibly still on the pitch at that stage, having had such a poor match. But sure, look, as you say, the width of a post, if he'd scored the goal that had taken us to a replay, Jim McGuinness then would have been a hero this morning.
So what did you think of the match then yourself?
Well, I think it was a poor spectacle, but perhaps we were expecting too much after the highs of the semi-finals. The two games between Mayo and Kerry were just so incredible, and then that was followed up. We were treated even more then to a spectacular Donegal performance against Dublin, and perhaps that, you know, it was just one game too far for Donegal after that stunning performance. You know, they just weren't able to replicate it yesterday.
Eugene, I'm reading Tony McEntee, I think, of Armagh Vintage fame, from about 2002 or thereabouts, in the Examiner this morning. He says the expectation that Donegal and Kerry would be a tactical masterpiece was so far removed from what we witnessed. The game was fraught with errors in handling, footwork, shooting, decision making, technical skills and player applications. That's Gaelic football.
That's Tony from Armagh, right? The thing is, it was all. He's right about all those things, but it was dominated by the tactics set down by McGuinness over the last 4 years, which have been very successful. And Kerry, for the first time with an Ulster team, they've learned to be practical, and they faced the reality of what Donegal were going to produce. So Fitzmaurice went out to counteract that, and they were the ones, they played mass defence in the first half as well. That's why we had this ridiculous half-time score of 1-3 to 6 points. So the common cliche now, I suppose, around the media this morning in the papers is that Kerry outdone Donegal at their own game. It's not entirely true, but it's partially true. It cut the legs from under Donegal to some extent, because the most powerful weapon was equaled by Kerry. And that's why Donegal, I don't know whether Mark agrees now, but Donegal generally in their heydays, they have always wanted to be in front going into the last, perfectly the last half hour and the last 20 minutes, because when they were in front, they controlled the game, as they did against Dublin. I use the simile with Dublin and Donegal, that is a spider's web. The Donegal backline was like a spider's web. The Dublin forwards went into it, they couldn't get in or they couldn't get out, and they couldn't get a goal. They would have been there yet, they wouldn't have scored a goal in the second half. So Kerry obviously went out to open up the play a lot more and make it more difficult for Donegal to play that mass defence. But as well as that, you know, the first score from play for Donegal didn't come to the 29th minute. You know, that was a clear warning sign. Like, and Jim McGuinness is a smart man. He must have known that was ridiculous. You know, nearly a half an hour and no score from play. Now, granted, Kerry weren't much better because they got two in the first couple of minutes and they went 23 minutes without a score in the first half. So, like, this was a poor game of football. There's no doubt about that. It was poor quality, and the only thing that saved was the excitement in the last quarter.
And, Mark, you know, after the really unfortunate opening from a Donegal point of view, you know, there were a goal down within a minute of the throw-in. To be going in at half-time level, did you have a sense that Donegal were underperforming at that stage?
Yeah, I did. You know, knowing the lads as well as I do, and watching them all year, they couldn't get to that level they were at, you know, against Dublin. And I was, you know, you're getting slightly worried and nervous towards the half-time. You know, Kerry, you know, counteracted Donegal in the first minute. They took out Donaghy and took out James O'Donoghue and left Keeney along with Paddy McGrath inside and capitalised on the first high ball in. And it was 1-1 to no score after, you know, as you said, 5 minutes. But Donegal came out the second half. They took the lead for the first time in the 37th minute. Murphy pointed a great free. And I just thought then, as you know, as Eugene said, Donegal liked being in front in that quarter. I thought they would have pushed on, but they never did. And then when it got to the mistake that, you know, that probably changed the game, our backs were against the wall and we had to come out. Even though, you know, straight after that, you know, McBrady scored 2 points. Neil McGee came up and scored, a wonderful point. But Buckley then kind of he steadied the ship with another mass score. And I thought his block too on David Walsh was a big turning point in the game, because David Walsh was going to tap the ball over the bar, could have brought it back to one. Kerry went up the field and you know it was back to 3 points, which was it was a long way home for Donegal then at that stage, which we're always going to need a goal to win the game.
Just on that first half, I know Eugene likes to blame a lot of the Northern teams for all ills in the modern game, but it's worth looking at the free count from the first half. Kerry committed 10 fouls to Donegal's one in the first half. Their intent was clear from the start. They wanted to stop the Donegal runners.
They were pretty cynical. I thought they were very cynical all over the field yesterday, Kerry.
And the treatment that Michael Murphy came in for wasn't really picked up on TV last night, but he was subject to quite a lot of abuse, and something that maybe the black card that Eugene brought in, you know, there's nothing really in the game to cover that sort of
Well,
abuse.
Actually, that's a good point to bring in Dara O'Shea on. Good morning to you, Dara.
Morning, Sean. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm sure not as well as you are. You're there with number 37 to celebrate. But just on that point, in fact, we had some fairly brisk exchanges between yourself and Mick McGinley on the programme last week. And you had predicted that Murphy would be singled out for a special treatment, and maybe that's what happened.
Yeah.
Among lots of other things, of course, as well.
Look, it's, the reality of it is, look, we played Northern teams in the past, and I heard what Orla and Mark said as well. And look, it's a reality. It was physical. Michael Murphy did get heavy hits and whatnot. But look, the reality of it is that it's a big boy's game. You know, you give him, and like no better Buchel than Michael to dish it out as well if it comes his way as well, you know. And to be fair, if you ask Michael Murphy this morning, you know, was he harshly treated, he won't say a word. Like, that's the physical. Like, I mean, the funny thing about it is the guy who was marking him yesterday at Nomahanny, I played against him several times in club games, very fair but very physical, and he just loves a challenge. And like if it's any consolation to the Donegal fellas, in club games down here he dishes out the same kind of stuff to the rest of us as well. So there's no, he's not, as a man says, he's not kind of choosy as who, how. But I thought Aidan O'Mahony had a very good game on him. And I mean, look, we spoke about it before, Kerry being called naive and whatnot in certain areas, but they worked very hard at what they did. Like, they bought no more than what Jimmy McGuinness has done. And it's very funny, you know, it's a very small, it's very fine line. You know, Kerry have won this morning. I came down to work this morning and I couldn't get parking in the street because the cup was coming home tonight and the signs are up straight away. And that's a great bonus to have, you know, that you walk an extra half a mile to get to work. But you don't mind that. But the point I'm coming to is that Jim McGuinness and his management team did nothing wrong as such. You know, it was, I mean, there was just, when the players passed the white line, it's very hard to get things, you know, get messages over the line. I mean, the one thing, you know, they talk about changing the rules. The one thing that the managers would love to bring in is this timeout, you know, that you could, you know, when things are going wrong, you can stop it and change their change.
I'll ask you, Gene, about that in a few minutes. But I met a few fellow countrymen and perhaps mutual friends of yours and mine after the match, people like Joe O'Toole and John O'Shea and a few other Kerry men. And they were saying, look, you know, we're not making any great claims for it as a game of football. We'll take it and put it down as number 37. It'll be there in the records, and there's no great bones to be made about it.
No, it wasn't.
But why are Kerry people so pleased about it, though, Dara?
Again, we spoke about it last Thursday, Sean. The one thing that and I don't think the players even actually have bought into, realised, we'll say, that, you know, the Kerry teams, have, you know, like you mentioned it yourself, I mean, we were bred on Mick O'Connell's, Mick O'Dwyer's, and then to the 70s, the Jack O'Shea's, the Pat Spillane's, the Paddy's, the different guys, Mikey Sheehy's.
And your good self.
Morris Fitzgerald and Seamus Mine and Cullum Cooper and all that. And, you know, this team really didn't have those kind of standout stars, you know. So then, as a result, they really had to work hard to capture the imagination and capture the I suppose, the Kerry public. Because, as you well know, as Paddy himself pointed out long ago, they're quite unforgiving at times, you know. They like their football, and they're uncompromising in what they get in it. And yes, like I met several fellas afterwards, and there was no fella, you know, it wasn't a classic by any manner of the means, but it's funny you were talking about there was a Cork texter there that was a terrible game. I got a text from a Cork fella last night, and he said he just wouldn't give us the sort of money in the other, and he said any news in Kerry, all things are quiet in Cork.
Well, but here's the thing, was there a particular satisfaction that finally you put manners on an Ulster team?
I don't think so. You see, I mean, like when you get to the one thing about this is a final takes on a world of its own, and it's you know, I said it the last day as well, you know, with Mick McGinley and as well, you know, if you're lucky enough to get to a final and play in a final, as Mark has done, you know, it takes on a role of itself. Like, and very often guys are asked to do stuff that they don't want to do. You know, in a final. You know, you're coming into the last game of the year, and you must realise now these are guys that have spent 8-9 months of their lives completely, you know, immersed in this game and immersed in what they have to achieve and whatnot. So then you're asking them to say, right, listen, Sean, you have to know, you know you're the best footballer in the country. You know, like James O'Donoghue yesterday, you're the best scorer. We don't want you next to any of the goals tomorrow. We want you out the field tomorrow. And it's an awful kick, you know, it's an awful kick to get, and you're told that, and you have to do this for the team. But in a given game, on a final, you're depending on these guys to be selfless and do that. And very often finals take on a life of their own. Very much different to a semi-final or a quarter-final or a Munster final or whatever kind of a game. Finals just take on a life of their own. And very often you get a guy, I said it the last year to you, very often, you know, it takes a guy out of the blue, Paul Murphy, for example, to be man of the match.
I'm sure you'll agree, Dara, Eugene McGee here, all through the season, Kerry were able and willing to change their plans for each game. You know, they had to change them on the hoof, which is unusual. Like Jim McGuinness didn't change any plans, I'm sure Mark would agree, largely over the last 4 years. He had a perfect plan, and he persisted with it and got into All-Ireland. But Kerry had to change.
Eugene, he did to an extent, but the only thing about Jimmy McGuinness's plan, it's very easy to knock Jimmy McGuinness today, and I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't dare do that, because, you know, what he did do with his plan, like, if he tweaked it here and there, he had different guys. Like, for example, yesterday, with Donoghue back there, the one thing, he did tweak his plan. He put, we'll say, normally we'll say you had the halfbacks swarming, we'll say, in front of their full back line. Yesterday you had the two midfielders, you had both Rory Kavanagh and Neil Gallagher dropping back in front of Kieran Donaghy. Now, that's, as you well know, Jimmy, or Eugene, that's a very taxing kind of a guy for the bigger guys, like Neil Gallagher.
Dara,
that's
a very hard
to do over 70 minutes.
I'm agreeing with Dara. Every day we go to play a game, it's a different, completely different plan for whoever we're playing. Like you telling me the Dublin game was not a different plan to yesterday. I think it was a completely different plan. But it's I just go back to your other point, Sean, there, what you were saying about why was Kerry so happy. And it's probably down to the players and Jim McGuinness, what they've done over the last 4 years. Like, looking 6 years ago, I don't think Kerry would have been over delighted to beat Donegal. But it just shows you that Donegal maybe have arrived in the scene over the last 4 years, and so many teams are so happy to beat them, which is, you know, credit to Donegal and where we're at. So hopefully we can, you know, regroup and come back.
Or what about the point Pat Spillane made on the Sunday game towards the end last night? Look, it comes down to, you can have all the plans, you can have all the systems, but if you haven't got the footballers, or if you have the footballers, that's what wins it. That's what won it for Kerry yesterday.
Well, Kerry totally deserved their victory. They had players on the day who performed. Donegal had players who just weren't able to lift to the same level. But you have to say as well that the players who got both teams to the final were not the players who actually performed yesterday. It was a whole different set of players nearly who were man of the match contenders
but
yesterday.
But that frequently happens. Players who are bigged up in advance, they find maybe, you know, they're maybe it gets
somebody,
to them.
If somebody had told Kerry and Donegal yesterday morning that James O'Donoghue wasn't going to score, yesterday. You know, Kerry would have been fearful and Donegal would have expected they were going to win the match. So,
but clearly they had a plan which didn't necessarily require him to score. They wanted him pulled out.
They wanted him on the ball and to take Niamh Magee out of the full-back.
He handled a lot of ball. We were saying that upstairs. He handled a whole lot of ball and created a lot of chances. And he won frees for you know, the Kerry forwards as well.
See, Kerry always have players who can adapt very quickly. I mean, you know, it is in their DNA, Gaelic football. There's no doubt about it. There's no
and McGuinness did say last week before the match, he said, look, they work extremely hard at being natural footballers.
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, you know, that's it. I mean, look at the batch of fellas he brought in this year. You know, they hadn't been heard, like Paul Murphy, for instance. No, they have that asset. When they're on the road, they're very dangerous. Now, most other teams have to work slavishly for a year or two to get to that point with newcomers, but Kerry seemed to walk out and take them out of the bushes.
And we've seen some of them in the minors as well.
That chap who was up at the palm tree in looking into Fitzgerald Stadium, would it be right to say that he backed up the wrong tree?
Well, he was quick enough to bark now, but I'm sure the Kerry manager or the Kerry chairman was joking, Dara, when he says it won't be there next year, that tree.
I don't think you'd be allowed to cut that down, I'm afraid. But
no, I think there should be a plaque put on it.
It's funny, like, in it, you know, had Kerry lost, I'm sure he'd have got more, I suppose, we'd be looking more in depth at it, you know what I mean?
He'd be a hero, that man.
But there's another thing too, Dara. Maybe this is why people in Kerry have a double reason to be happy. Obviously, winning the minor as well, the first minor for 20 years. And also, was it five of that team came from the one neck of the woods that you'd be fairly familiar with yourself? And
yeah,
all of them in that All Ireland Colleges winning team that Eamon Fitzmaurice might have had a hand in.
Back there was we'd seven in total, Sean, of lads back there. Bruno Bugley, the fullback, who was excellent yesterday. Barry Sullivan from Dingley, who was outstanding. Matthew Flaherty from Dingley was outstanding. You know, Tomás O'Shea, the dancer, was outstanding. And it, to be fair, Jack made a great job with these lads as well yesterday. You know, I mean, and the funny thing about it, and it's funny you should mention it, Sean, is that it was really important for, because I was actually at the game with James or James E. O'Donnell, the Donegal man, and we had a friendly fiver on the game to we say both games. I was at him with the Dublin game as well, and the funny thing about it is that the minor game. The Donegal Miners to beat Dublin in the semi-final, you wouldn't believe the energy it gave the crowd before the senior game. And I think that energy, that the Kerry took that energy away from the Donegal crowd yesterday, because I think Donegal outnumbered Kerry. And that win for the Miners yesterday can't be understood. That was a crucial win from a Kerry point of view.
And I think, Mark McHugh, the same thing happened in the semi-final when the Donegal Miners beat the Dubs.
Yeah,
it kind of gave the Hill something to think
set
about.
Tone,
Jim alluded to it after the match, straight away after the match. He says how the Miners were so inspirational to the senior team walking around the field, and the crowd had already got behind the whole Donegal and give them a big
what
boost.
What now for Jim McGuinness, in your view, Mark?
I don't know. Listen, I listened to interviews after the game yesterday. They'll sit down in about, you know, 3 or 4 weeks, the whole panel and the management team, and decide what they're going to do. It shows, you know, exactly the love Jim McGuinness has for Donegal football, where he could have stepped away 2 years ago when he got the job at Celtic and moved his family over to Scotland, but he didn't want to do that. He knew exactly what kind of players he had. Listen, for the sake of Donegal, we all hope he stays on, but and you know, he's been offered another role at Celtic now. So,
and there'll be people as well listening, I suspect, saying for the sake of Donegal, they'd like to see you getting back in action.
Well, listen, that's not for me to decide. We've club championship next week, and I have to put the head down and get stuck back into it and start, you know, hopefully performing that. And if I'm asked back, yeah, of course I'll jump at the chance. Yeah.
And Eugene, again, it's the year, the end of the season, at least at senior level, black card and all. What's your assessment? Okay, as somebody said, only Kerry can come along with a team in transition, get to the final, play poorly and still win. That's why they have 37 titles. But do you feel, to borrow an Albert Reynolds phrase, vindicated our award from the black card and all those changes?
Well, the black card didn't dominate today. I mean, there was one at the very end there, but it has been one of the poorest games, championships for years, you know, for a long, long time. Everybody agrees.
Despite the semi-finals?
Well, that's what I'm getting to that. Only for the semi-finals. There would have been nothing all year. It was one of the poorest. You know, the quality was very poor all round. And it was saved by the semi-finals. I mean, these dramatic semi-finals were absolutely fantastic. And the game yesterday, like, you know, it was poor quality. But, I mean, you can't have top-of-the-range quality in a final every year. And the excitement in the last quarter and the fact that the game was in up for grabs, that compensates a lot for that. Like, you know, I don't know where the two teams will go. Kerry, in theory, Kerry have, it's all in front of them now, because they'll have Cooper hopefully back next year. I'd say Tommy Walsh will return from Australia. The pick of the minor team to start grooming again. So it looks good for them. But look, the great thing about All-Ireland Football Championships and everything is, what happens one year has nothing to do with the following year, and we learned that. Everybody learns that.
We saw them saying last night in the Sunday game, and I hope to be talking to, or will be talking to Liam O'Neill, the president of the GAA, tomorrow when we're at the ploughing down in Rathanesca. But they were describing on the Sunday game that effectively the provincial championship system is just, you know, outdated. It needs to be refreshed. It only functions properly in Ulster Orla.
Well, the Ulster Championship is the most competitive. We've seen that, and it's to the Ulster team's detriment then. When it gets to the All-Ireland Series, they're not guaranteed places in the last 12 or the last 8 like some of the other counties, but that's for a different day, I guess.
OK, and we'll leave it there for the moment. Dara Shea on the phone, Eugene McGee, Orla Bannon and Mark McHugh. Thank you all for being with us. We'll be back with more, well, very little more after this.